Hey guys, it's Jessica, founder of Noonday Collection. Welcome to the You Matter podcast. On this podcast, I want you to get ready to be inspired to be more courageous and to own your worth. Get ready to feel connected to the artisan community and to the community where you have a place of belonging, the ambassador community. Because the truth is, you matter, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to You Matter. I have been so looking forward to you hearing this episode because I am taking you to the streets of Kampala, Uganda, where you're going to hear from some of our artisan partners as well as the ambassadors who got to travel with us this summer. First, you're going to hear a really amazing recording from the welcome ceremony in Lent that we shared with our Ugandan brothers and sisters. And it was such an incredible moment. There was not a dry eye there. This is when Mama Sham is sharing her story of healing after she became completely paralyzed around a year ago. She woke up one morning and wasn't able to move at all. It was Daniel and some of her artisan friends that came alongside of her that helped her take her to various hospitals to find out how she could get treated. But in order to get treated, she needed cash on hand, which she didn't have. And so that's when I got a call from Jalia asking if we could step in. And we were able to step in with our Flourishing World initiative. And it's because of that I got to stand and dance with Mama Sham in June. And so this is her just thanking us and sharing her story with us. So get ready for that. A few things to note that might help you understand the context a little bit better is that at one point you're going to hear Jalia talking about Nakarunji. She's the pregnant artisan who tragically passed away during childbirth around the same time that Mama Sham woke up paralyzed. You're also going to hear people using the word theater a lot, and that is what a surgery room is called in Uganda. Now listen in as Mama Sham shares her story in her own words and explains how our partner with African Style was able to literally save her life.
And she thanks you so much for all that you've done for her. We moved from one hospital to another, but every hospital said we can't handle this one. Take her to a better hospital. Daniel and Jalia brought an ambulance at the hospital that took me
to
Kampala Hospital.
Kampala Hospital, Dr. Nakita Wanya, Dr. Lifize, Manyaina.
While she was at a major hospital, it took time for the doctor to pay attention to her because it's one doctor and he had other people to take care of.
So she had to wait
3 days in the hospital without any doctor attending to her. Everything like bathing her, taking her to the toilet, all that was so hard. In her heart, she was feeling so bad because of being so helpless. She did not want the feeling of being helpless, that she cannot even take herself to the bathroom. That really broke her heart. What hurt her most during that situation that she was a woman who was used to taking care of herself, and she was a woman who was working and maintaining her family. But to come to the point where you cannot even go to the bathroom and you need someone to, that really hurt her. That she's really thankful to God. So the time came when the doctor came to see her and said, you have to wait until Friday, but we had been in hospital since Monday. And ladies, let me tell you, on Friday, the day she was going into surgery, that is when we lost Nakarunji, our worker. So let me tell you my part. My part of that day was so hard because at night on Thursday, I knew that she was going to theater. But let me tell you the truth. I didn't know she would make it through theater. I didn't tell her that. But in my heart, I was prepared for whatever was going to come. Because when you looked at her, I knew that she might not make it out of theater. So we prayed at home, we believed. Then I got myself ready, whatever comes. That was Thursday night. The same night, I got a call that our worker had passed away after giving birth. It was terrible. So Friday, I was here planning the burial for Nakarunji. Also waiting for a call to hear what is going on in theater, just in case we have another one to plan burial for. And I was torn apart. I was like, should I go for burial? But there is one who is still alive. Should I stay and wait for that who is still alive? So I was really torn apart. And then she stayed in theater for the whole day. From morning up to 5 p.m. We had not heard anything of what was happening in theater. And I was like crazy. Like, I don't know how I was. Because Mama Sham is not only my worker, she's my friend. I've known her for all this time. And Nakarunji had also been. This was terrible. We came here, all of us, and we're just crying. So we thank God who delivered us through that. They want to kill all of us. We were here just crying. We didn't work. Barring somebody waiting for another one who we didn't know would survive. Just had. But we thank God. I remember posting something on Facebook. I said, please pray for us. I don't know what is happening now. But you all prayed, and God came through for us.
Yeah. I didn't have a sister, and I was pushing up the under. Nebangamba, but sister, and Nebangamba. Mama Sham, Musava. Nebangamba, Ninamukama. Joe, Naya today.
So during the time of pushing her, wheeling her to the theater, her sisters asked her to pray. They said, please pray. Because you know what? We really didn't think she would come out. And then she told her sisters, do not worry about me. Yesterday I believed Jesus, and I know that same God is going to deliver me out of theater. She said she stayed in theater the whole day, but when she came out of theater, 2 days after, she started feeling like her limbs were starting to work again. She could pick her legs, and her life was coming back. Thank you for praying. She gets all the messages that I keep updating how you guys are praying, and she knows you've been standing with her and praying for her. Thank you very much. Jessica, thank you very much. She never knew that she would live again. Her hope was gone. But God is good. Thank you so much for all that you've done. We have to let you know that all the money that we used on her surgery came from Nunde. Thank you so much for sending the money. The first surgery costed a lot, it came from Nunde, and the second surgery costed so much. And both surgeries, all the money came from Nunde. I remember the first call that I made when the first surgery she had given up. Like, she had sold her things through her work. She had started a salon, a hair salon. Another separate business from her work, but she sold her things. She sold things from her home to get money. African Style, thank you so much. They also contributed some money. We collected money here and there, but it was Nova. Like, not even quarter of the money she needed. Then I made I wrote to Jessica, and when I heard from Jessica that they were going to be able to take care of it, I called her and I said, Mama Sham, you're not going to die. You're not dying today. She's like, what? I'm not going to die. So I think even in her mind, she was like, this is it. I'm dying.
Stop.
Thank you so much.
But
who is she that she will give up all that much money for her life?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Jessica. So love you very much, Jessica.
I love you.
Dancing with Mama Sham and hearing that story was definitely the highlight of my trip. It was incredible just to get to wrap my arms around her and just spend time with her and see the healing that she's been through. And it's because of you. I want to thank you and all your customers who participated in our Impact Give Back campaigns. It's because of all of you that we're able to provide life-saving emergency support to our partners, as well as scholarship funds and daycares and workshop improvements and more. So in the next segment, you'll get to listen into a conversation between me and Dahlia, the leader of our artisan business partner group in Uganda. She's also a close friend of mine. I had the opportunity to stay a few extra days after our ambassador trip to spend some more time with Dahlia, which is always a blast. Listen in as we talk candidly about the power of beauty and Dahlia's journey to entrepreneurship. What's been your journey over the last several years when it comes to, like, you've owned your, like, your voice and, like, you've kind of had that rebirth of, like, no, I am strong and I do stand up for people. That's who I am.
Yeah.
How has that manifested, like, in your physical, like, and how you think about your clothes, or, like, if you think about when I met you, like, 7 years ago to today, what's been that journey?
Well, like you said, I used to be very cautious about myself, and there are many things I didn't like about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I wish that had changed, that would change.
Like what?
My arms. I've always felt very bad about my arms. I felt bad about my arms. I felt like I'm not, again, skinny enough.
But in, you know, this culture,
yeah, I know.
It's good to be, like,
with some flesh.
Flesh.
But not to be, like, really big.
Now really
the
fleshy.
Trend has come in
to be fleshy.
Yeah, because of all that internet and
right.
all that.
Kim so Kardashian.
Mm-hmm. TV.
Uh-huh.
So now the culture is changing because people are wanting to be more skinny than before, when they would look beautiful with big legs and big hips and big bum. That would be beauty.
Right.
So now it's trending towards being more skinny.
Mm.
And for people who are educated and like middle class people, they still look at skinniness as more beauty versus being.
Okay. But maybe your idea of skinny
is
different than mine. Let's say, like, when I first met you, you weren't, like, wearing makeup. Were you thinking much about, like, oh, what
clothes? I wasn't thinking about beauty at that time. I was just thinking about survival.
Mm-hmm.
I was really just surviving. Yeah. I wasn't concerned about beauty, like maybe I did but it wasn't like first priority for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But with time I started appreciating myself more. I even thought lipstick might not even look nice on me. I was shy to wear lipstick.
Mm.
I would try it on sometimes and I would take it off because I felt like that wasn't for me.
Mm.
Yeah, there are some hairstyles that I felt like that is not for me. Clothes that are more that show your body.
Okay, like tighter?
Tighter maybe,
okay.
Yeah. Those, I feel like those are not for me.
Okay.
Short that expose my legs.
Mm-hmm.
Are not for me because I didn't feel like I have good legs.
Mm.
And so I've come a long way listening to your teachings on Facebook, at Shine, and following you, and it encourages to know that you can be who you are, and it brings confidence in you, and then you start, people look out for more in you than just how you look.
That's
you're
right.
More important than your looks.
Right.
So I've come a long way in that. I've started appreciating my arms more, even though I don't wear short sleeves.
So when you think about your confidence growth over the last few years with your physical beauty, what do you think's helped you? Like, do you feel more confident now in your physical beauty than you did?
I feel more confident now. That's why I can make up.
Uh-huh.
I can wear lipstick. I can wear some clothes that I never wore before. I feel more confident now, but I know I have reached maybe at 70%. I have like 30% to go.
I feel like I have.
Yeah, maybe I've come up to like 70%.
Yeah.
From zero. From zero.
What about, I remember one time.
But I've also helped others, like my sister who has been really struggling with her weight. By using part of your, I find it on Facebook.
Or yeah,
I follow
yeah.
you. I use part of your teachings, and I encourage her to think the same.
Yeah,
about herself. She's beautiful.
She is beautiful.
Yeah, she's just a big girl.
Right,
but she's really beautiful.
Well, to me, she just looks African. Like when I come here, I feel like
in African standards, she's very beautiful.
Yeah.
But I think she watches a lot of movies and listens to magazines and stuff like that. So that's why she's judging
herself.
Listens
to who?
This is to women.
Yeah, but listens to who?
To movies. Movies. And watches magazines. And,
magazines, yeah. Isn't that crazy how when we're removed from those images that we put in our mind, we can feel so much more satisfied with how we are? I remember one time you said, I don't remember when this was, when I was like, Jalia, you are a fashion designer. Like, you need to dress up.
Yeah.
When was that? Was that my first trip?
I think it was your second trip when you came with Emily. That's when we spent more time together. And all that, I didn't even know. You know when you're not thinking about, I think my mind was really absorbed with fighting poverty, getting out of poverty. I didn't even know how dressing, what it means. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what fashionable clothes are. I was creative.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I couldn't know, like, this looks good on me or this looks good on me. Plus, nice clothes are very expensive.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I just put on anything that was either handed to me or something I could find in a used store, anything.
And when can you think of a time where you, like, really
when
felt.
I started coming to shine.
Yeah, it was shine, okay.
And I saw that women, how they were dressed and how they... I saw even like big women, like some old women with their makeup and lipstick.
Mm.
It was about 2 weeks, but it really transformed me, like being in that community of women who care about their looks.
Mm.
I was like, wow. So I got some jeans and they were kind of tight.
Like skinny jeans.
On. Yeah, skinny jeans. I put those on and I came back looking good.
Yeah.
I started putting on lipstick.
Giving you all of my clothes.
All of your clothes. So putting on your clothes and dressing up like that, it was from the outside, but it really changed something within me, like inside. I started looking at myself in the mirror saying, wow, I actually really look good like this.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing how, like, it's like there's this tension or this balance because you can get too into how you look where you just care too much.
Mm.
But then if you don't care at all, then it really just shows that on the inside you're not confident, you know?
Exactly.
It's like
Exactly. But when you, I think confidence would bring you to care.
So confidence comes first and then, or, but sometimes if you just start dressing the part, like fake it till you make it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe.
Oh, you need a lot of confidence. If you've been beaten for a long time, you need a lot of confidence. Like in African style, if you came and told women to put on like lipstick and wear high heels, it would take time.
For them to feel like they deserve that.
Yes. It would take time. Unless you give her a makeover like once and do it again the second time, let her look at herself in the mirror, and then she'll come out of there.
Have you seen that transformation as some of the artisans you work with?
So many, like Latifah, many of them, they couldn't, like when I changed,
yeah,
I saw many starting to change.
Okay.
Like even Nema, one time she said, it starts from above, meaning like it's from our boss. So when they started wearing lipstick, when I started wearing lipstick and making my hair look nice, I see it in Africa, so everybody wants to
look nice,
dress
too.
Like me, to, you know, care for their skin and their body.
Oh,
yeah. You know what? I think I was more confident in my childhood.
Childhood.
And I think I lost a lot of confidence after I became a mom and I was going through a lot of poverty.
Yeah.
I think poverty really killed my personality
and
a lot.
And
I feel like now that I'm coming out of poverty,
yeah,
my confidence is coming back. But the person who you see now is more like the original me.
Like the girl who was fighting for the kids,
yes,
at the well.
Yes.
I think too,
poverty is the one that made me like lose even from perspective of what I wanted to be and dreams. Because like I tell you, I was the best in primary school, I would be best in middle school, best in college. But then pregnancy, 2 children, no work, student husband, no money, working all that time and not finding money. I did my best. I cleaned homes. I was a babysitter in many homes. I made some art. I sold here and there until I was like really confused that it was about finding food for my kids.
Yeah, you were just like, is this what I'm doing with my life? I'm just,
yeah.
But it was more about like, I think there's something about going through poverty when you've just become a mom too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
you're going through poverty by yourself, it's just you.
Right.
But now you have babies who are hungry.
Because what's the story about Zoe at the giving birth to her? Didn't y'all like build her a little bed?
No, we had no bed.
Yeah.
We had 30,000 shillings. It's less than
$10.
$10.
That's it. That's all you had.
Less than
to your name.
That's what we had. And that's that money that we were going to pay at the hospital and buy everything that she needed. So then we went to the hospital. I had this blanket. She still has it. I bought it in a used clothes market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the blanket that I had. And I had no like clothes or anything else. So the hospital asked us to pay $10. We went to a very cheap hospital. They asked us to pay $30,000. It was a miracle.
Wow.
So we paid all our money that we had.
Yeah.
And then Daniel's auntie came and brought us some nappies.
Okay.
And the Robertsons, the missionaries,
yeah,
came in and gave used clothes,
okay,
and some things like that. But they gave us advice to make like a box for her bed.
Okay.
And we said, no, we are not going to put her in a box. She's still alive. Because in our mind, we are thinking like a coffin, you know?
Right.
So, but we slept with her.
Yeah. Explosion. So, like, talk about, like, because you were saying yesterday about the whole, we would come and be like, what are your dreams?
Yeah.
And you're laughing. You're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Is because that, like, how has been being exposed to us who are like, we need to know your plan and your vision and
that has helped us to dream, but also the dreams are no longer as vague as they used to be then.
Right.
Then like, what are your dreams? What are they talking about? Dreams, I'm just getting food for my kids today and they are going to school and I've paid my rent for this month.
Yeah.
So maybe my plan is to pay rent for another month.
Right.
And that's it.
That's my dream.
Yes. But then your mind does not stretch beyond that.
Mm.
What has inspired me a lot about you guys is that we feel like you guys have a thriving business.
Mm.
We know your business is doing well. You're making money. But you're still working so hard and you're not stopping.
Mm-hmm.
So that the mentality here would be that when you achieve up to a certain point, you'd be like, I'm all done. Now let me have a party.
Okay.
Let me enjoy my money.
I've got my farm.
Once you buy a car, you have a piece of land, then you're done.
Okay.
Ugandan's mentality, so
wow,
we'll say like that.
Wow.
So so because we see you guys working all the time and never stopping to dream.
I mean, I still
dream,
work 40, 50 hours a week.
Yeah. I come to your house and I see you working all the time. Travis is working. Everybody's
yeah,
working you.
Yeah.
Like, these guys haven't made enough money. You're still working, and the company never stops growing.
Right.
And you want even to grow bigger. So the dreams are really big. So when we come back here now, some people are beginning to be surprised about us. My brother one time came and asked Daniel. You know, Daniel is a workaholic. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
He never stops working.
Right.
He said, Daniel, if I were you, I would be playing golf. I would not be working. You have a land, big land. You have plots here and there. You have a company. You have a car. Your wife has a car. Why are you working?
Yeah.
We tell them, you don't know. What you consider rich is not rich.
It's not rich
at all. You don't know.
Right.
We have people we haven't seen.
Who haven't seen.
Who are richer than us.
Right.
Who are still working.
Right.
But for us, our eyes have just been opened. Now, someone like Ambrose said, I cannot stay in bed when I know Daniel wakes up at 6. Who am I to stay in bed? He's my boss. He pays me. Mm-hmm. How can I stay sleeping when he's working? Mm-hmm. I need to work and be like him.
Well, so, in America, we have this whole thing like hustle. You got to hustle.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there is something about, it's called the American work ethic. You know.
But it's surprising to us because people just, after making, our dreams are shallow. After getting a car and getting a piece of land and you build yourself a house, you don't see why you should hustle. Yeah. Because then what do you want to become? Then we built a house at the farm. Mm-hmm. You're going to see it.
Yeah, I know.
Then my brother came and I showed him my dream house. He got angry with me, Faisal, the chef. He said, you still have dream houses? You even still have dreams after that? Wow. What do you want in this life? You already have something big.
Yeah, but we're what hustling. We're hustling too to create jobs for more people.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not the money. I mean, like, I'm not motivated by, like, I'm glad I got to build a swimming pool. That's awesome. Yeah. But, like, I'm not hustling for the next
house. That's why we work also, because our purpose is bigger than just money. But if we just think about money and status, the dreams are still shallow.
After achieving this,
there's no more reason for work. We think that our children would be better than us because of the exposure they have received at a younger age. Even to travel, when Zoe grows up, even when they're going through poverty, they will know in their hearts that there is more.
Yeah.
And they will work hard for more.
Yeah.
Exposure is such a big thing. Children who grow up in the village, they want to stay in the village. Right. Children who don't go up to college, they don't know.
Yeah.
Even when they're smart, if they are not given an opportunity to be with you know, to relate with people who are, they're shy.
So when did you feel like, okay, I'm not poor? Like,
I took so long to feel that.
I know. I feel like
you told me you own a business. You're no longer poor. You're a business owner. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I took so long. Yeah. Even now, some of my sisters say, like Tugume, because we employ them, they say, if I was like you, if I had the money you have, I would do this, I would do that, because they see us not doing those things. But Daniel and I are in the gear that we were in when we were very poor, the same working gear to earn, and the fight out of poverty has not stopped. Has not stopped. Because I think, like you said, we have many people that we are working for, whose lives we want to see changing, our lives and others too.
I loved when Jalia said that although the changes she made and how she cared for her physical self were from the outside, they really changed something within her. And that is the power of owning your worth and of knowing that when we treat ourselves as beautiful, we're not making ourselves more beautiful. We are just simply honoring the beauty that's already there. And it was so much fun on this trip because all the ambassadors had collected lipstick. That was something Jalia said the artisans would love. And she said, Jessica, Jessica, they want lipstick now because they've seen me take care of myself. And so we had a big lipstick party one afternoon, and it was just such a beautiful time of all of us owning our worth and feeling beautiful together, which is what we get to do at trunk shows. It was also great hearing about how Jahlia has been inspired by her partnership with all of you to dream specifically and in big ways. It's crazy because when I first met Jahlia and asked her what she was dreaming about in the future, she said, "I just don't want to die. I don't want my kids to be orphans." And yet today she's bought a farm where she grows food to feed the artisans that she works with every day. And eventually she wants to open a marriage retreat center. She has dreams of a chicken farm. And she really has big, audacious dreams now. I want you to think about how you can push yourself towards those big dreams. How can we help those dreams come true? Specifically, I want you to let yourself dream about traveling with us on an ambassador trip next year and set real goals to make that dream a reality. So, to that, in this last segment, you're going to hear from ambassadors who traveled with us to Uganda about what that experience has meant for them and for their businesses. And you'll also hear what these trips mean for our artisan partners. So take a listen, and I cannot wait to see you in Vietnam, Haiti, Peru, or Guatemala next summer. Okay, guys, I'm sitting here in Uganda right now, poolside, and I was just telling the ambassadors around me right now that normally I would be like, let's do You Matters, let's do this, let's do that, but it's been different having my family here and leading with them. I have Amelie beside me right now asking for a soda pop. Amelie, what's it been like for you to be on this trip?
I really enjoyed it, and I like getting to know the ambassadors because they're really fun and they like children.
BFFs forever.
Okay, so I'm doing this spontaneously, which is how I roll. And so y'all can decline, those of y'all that are sitting with me right now, if you don't want to talk right now. It's totally fine. But I want y'all to tell the ambassadors, not me, the ambassadors listening right now, like, what matters about making this a goal? And for those people that think like, there's no way I could ever make a trip, like, what do you have to say?
I say make a goal. Set your goal. You know, right now you have this long of a time. You've got 6 months to set your goal. And I think every woman needs to make that. Every ambassador needs to make it her goal to go on a trip because it brings it full circle. It brings the work that we're doing into full living color.
Jennifer, what is this trip meant for you?
I would say that this trip for me has made Noonday even more amazing. Like, I now understand the full circle of how it all works, and it has shown me that not only can I have dreams, but the people here have dreams, and I just want to make them all come true for them.
And Jennifer, you tell us when you started Noonday and when this became a goal for you.
So I've only been an ambassador for a year. So I started in June, and it was immediately my goal. Like, and so I looked when the goals came out in August, and I was like, I can do that. That's attainable. Like, I'm going to make the steps and meet with, I have a great coach, Allison Davis. And we chatted a lot about shout out, and we made it, our goal for both of us to go on a trip this year. And we worked really hard on it. And it was, I can honestly say my business will be so much better because I came on this trip, like 100%.
And that's so fun because I got to do the same interview with Allison Davis on the beach in Haiti. So that's, it's full circle. Okay, Heather, I know you are an inward processor and I'm putting you on the spot right now, but let's say you're talking to your team right now. What are your words to them?
That you absolutely have to come because, like Elizabeth was saying, like, it takes the stories that we go. I mean, every single person is telling the story of Jahlia and Daniel at their trunk show. It's what our video, our DVD is about. But to come and see it in real life and living color, it becomes so much more three-dimensional to come and touch and see and hug the people that you've been talking to. And dance with them and shake your booty with them, then it does. It becomes, it's just a really powerful thing to carry back home. And I feel like a much stronger sense of advocacy after this. Like, I want to go and be Latifah's ambassador at my trunk show. So tell us specifically, and by the way, you're going to hear shaking in the background because we are literally sitting by the pool, by a bar. They are shaking our drinks. Cheers. So one of the questions we talked about this morning was, what was one story you're taking back in particular and why? Does someone's come to you in particular, Rayanne? Because I know it does. Because this is going to make me cry now when you share it, because I'm like getting choked up just looking at you right now.
Oh, so now I get to cry on You Matter. I first of all think that everyone should come on a trip because you can only read so many blogs, but to hear their stories out of their mouths. And that is what we did here with Mama Sham. I don't know how many of you all know, but I was diagnosed with breast cancer in April, and so that was less than 3 months ago, and I told all of my surgeons that I was coming on this trip, come hell or high water, and they made it happen for me. And when we heard Mama Sham's story of laying on her floor for days until her friends came to get her, that there were no ambulances, they literally put her in their car to take her to numerous hospitals until one finally decided that they would even take a look at her. And then she had to have almost $6,000 cash before anyone would do any work on her. It just brought me to tears because we have such a similar story, but the ending is just so different because of different opportunities and availability in our countries. So I will take Mama Sham's story home. She was a total blessing this entire trip, and you guys have to come on a trip. I can't say it enough. And team, come on. I'm here with you. Let's go.
Yeah, so Mama Sham was one of the women who received a grant from our Flourishing World Initiative, and she had a deteriorating bone on her C3, C4 vertebrae and literally woke up paralyzed one day. And, you know, think about it. If your mom or someone in your family called you suddenly, like, I'm paralyzed, I can't move, you would call an ambulance, an ambulance would come, you would get emergency surgery that day. But that's not the case here. Mama Sham had to be lifted and carried by her coworkers from African Style. And they then went to several hospitals, like Rayanne said, until one doctor said, I'll take a look, but only until you have the cash. And so imagine you have to show up with cash.
And it was like the price of a house.
And yeah, it's for them, the cost of the surgery was like the cost of a home. So for us, we were able to give thanks to you guys and your hustle even from last summer. And so these are what we get to be a part of. These are the partnerships that we get to be a part of. I have Katie here. Katie. Katie's.
Talk about how Domalee said thank you to
everybody
on the bus.
Oh, yeah, Domalee. Katie is fresh from a massage.
Another reason to come on an artisan trip.
Katie is one of our ambassadors out of Nashville. She's a child life specialist, which was awesome because my sweet little girl ended up getting very sick one night. And I know Katie helped her the next day a lot. And so Domalee.
It was not fun,
but you're okay now. So Domalee was one of, do you want to share about Domalee, Sarah?
Can you talk?
Remember, oh, is it hard for you to talk? Sarah's lost her voice on this trip. Okay. We'll have Jennifer share. Jennifer. So yesterday we were saying goodbye to all of the artisans and we'd all loaded up on our bus to head back to the hotel. And Domalee, which one of our bracelets is named after, came up on the bus. And what did she share?
So first, I'm going to rewind just like a few days. Domalee was amazing. I had her bracelet on during one of our dance parties. And she immediately came up to me and said, that's my bracelet. And I loved that. And she just owned it. And she was so proud. Like, and it just made me so excited to go home and sell more of those bracelets. Like, she owned her worth. And it was really beautiful. And as we were leaving African Style yesterday, we went back for a quick goodbye. And she climbed on our bus after all the ambassadors were on, and she asked us to tell all of you Holden just jumped in the pool. It was awesome. Domalee asked us to tell every single ambassador thank you. I mean, she just said, you don't understand the impact that you are doing for us, that this is life-giving to us. And she just said, please, please convey my thank you to every single ambassador.
With tears in her eyes.
With tears in her eyes and with tears in all of ours.
Yeah, and I think for me, what was awesome, first of all, this was my first time to get to come here with ambassadors. And so that just meant so much to me to see our ambassadors making those personal connections with the people that I've carried in my heart now for 7 years. And I specifically think about Olivia, who, as you guys know, I met several years ago on a trip here, and she had just received a job with African Style 3 weeks prior to me meeting her. And we sat in a room with Jaya while she just shared her story through tears. For the first time in her life, she shared her story about exploitation and abuse. And she literally had been on her way to an orphanage with her daughter, Rachel, because she just couldn't care for her anymore when she met Bukenya, one of the artists and partners here, and got this job with African Style. And so to come back here about 6 years later and see her dancing, see her hair, because when I first met her, her hair was shaved. She couldn't afford a beautiful hair weave. Her hair was beautiful. Rachel was in school. That was extremely impactful for me. And also then to see Latifah, because the first time I met Latifah, her child was extremely sick. The next time I met Latifah, her child, same child, had gotten a injection, and they'd accidentally injected the nerve. And so her whole leg had gone lame. And so I was expecting to come on this trip to meet her little girl and see her limping. But actually, they were able to get medical care for her for a year, and she was dancing along with all the other kids and doing sack races with all of the children. And her mom is, Latifah. Yes. And so it's so fun because we did find out that about 20 new artisans were hired over the last couple of months. And we just are so excited that when we come back in 7 years, these are the stories that we get to see and that we get to be a part of. And the long-term partnership that we get to have is, it's truly unique. I think it's something that makes Noonday really distinct in the marketplace. And we are here representing you, honestly. Like, there's 19 of us here. There's almost 2,000 of you all. And we are here, whether you've sold one necklace or 30, whether you have no team members or 10 team members, we truly are a unit working together. And that's what you hear over and over, is what you've done matters. And I want you guys to know we're here representing you as a community, saying that what you have done matters. And so these stories are our stories to share. We really are linking arms with these artisans, and it's been a real joy. I'm going to bring you one more special guest really quickly, possibly two more. I'm going to put him on the spot. Daniel, hello.
Hello.
I'm talking right now. It's not live. I'm recording something right now. I'm wondering if you could share what it's meant for ambassadors to come here. What does that mean for your artisans that work for you?
This has been so exciting. We always tell them about the ambassadors, about how this works, how they are partners with us, and how they have helped sell the products. And they have always known this, but you know, it is hard to really figure out how it really is like in reality. So many of them I know wished that they met ambassadors. Some of them are on Facebook, and they have seen these ambassadors on Facebook, but they have never met in person. So it was so exciting for all of us to interact. The workers that we have, I just saw them so excited to see ambassadors and to know that they love them. You know, one of the things that they share that really touches my heart is saying that this is not just work. It's more than work. It is a family. It has brought back their hope. It has made them feel their dignity. So meeting with ambassadors, I felt like uniting with a family. And that made work be meaningful, because there are so many workplaces in Uganda where work is a burden, but this is really something that is great. So we are so excited to have the ambassadors here and to know that they love us so much.
Well, you guys have run an incredible program for us this week. Mm-hmm. Everything went so smoothly. Mm-hmm. And we had so many dance parties, and we did sack races and tossed the egg. And I think we found out again that we're more similar than we are different. Yes. And you've done an incredible job. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for coming with them.
Okay, so now I'm sitting by Jalia. And okay, so Jalia, she took my kids this weekend, Jack and Holden. And I was so thankful because the hotel we stayed at, it was gorgeous. It was amazing, but it was surrounded by level 6 rapids. It was crazy. I was thinking if my boys were here, I'd be a nervous wreck the whole time. So thank you so much for watching them. But I when Jolly and I WhatsApped yesterday or day before, and I'm like, so tell me, how's it going with the boys? She's like, oh, great. We just took them to Kentucky Fried Chicken and to see a movie. But let me tell you something else that happened today. So I'm going to let Jolly tell that story, because I just thought, okay, this is not a typical sleepover.
I had a wonderful time with the boys. They are wonderful children. I can keep them forever. Yeah, so that time we were going to the movie, we just realized there was this man lying by the roadside. And normally there's people lying by the roadside, either homeless people or drunkards or someone who has been affected by drugs. And people were just passing him by. So normally I just thought, this guy has been affected by drugs. And we also passed. But my heart was so troubled. I wanted to find out more about this guy. So after we drove off a few minutes, I told Daniel, you know what, let's turn and go back and see what's really happening to this guy, because I was convicted that he needed help. So then we told the children, okay, we are going to the movie still, but let's first go and see what's happening with this guy. So when we went, we realized that this guy had been convulsing. He fell by the roadside, and he had convulsions, and because he had been hungry for 2 days without food. He had come from the village and had come to Kampala to find work. Then he got sick and went to the hospital, where he stayed for 2 days. And he was put on medication, but without food. So he was really hungry. That's why he came out to find work. So
because in the hospitals here, there's no one to bring you water and food.
Unless you have relatives who come to visit you and make food for you and bring food for you. But he had no relatives in Kampala. So, yeah, we were glad that God convicted us to stop and to turn back to him. And we were happy that God used us to offer that hand to him, to offer him some water. When he realized that help has come, he forced himself up. He got up and we got him some water, and we called for some help. And we got a Boda Boda, my motorcycle guy, offered him some money to take him to the restaurant to get food to him. And we also offered him some cash for food until he finds work or finds his family. But we also gave him our card just in case he needs work. He can contact us and we'll see what God can do. Mm. Yeah, so it was a blessing to be with the boys. And Jack was there saying, I wish I had food. I wish I had water. They're such big hearts.
And I wanted her to share that story with you just for you to understand. And this guy came from the village. They often think coming to Kampala is like coming to this new life where they're going to come and find work. Yes. But instead he came, he was very sick. He had no one to care for him. In the hospital, if you end up in a hospital here, if you don't have a relative around, you're going to wind up in a hospital with no food, no water, no bed sheets, nothing really. Yeah. And you know, these are the kind of people that we are creating work for. Jolly and Daniel specifically are targeting the most vulnerable people. And as we get out there and we grow the opportunity, the ambassador opportunity, so that more are added to our team, as we get out there and know that every single sale matters, that is how we're going to create work for more Ugandans and then our partners all over the world. I know this morning, I think it's sometimes hard for you. We had a debriefing time this morning and everybody cried. Yeah. And I know it's hard because you're seeing how we too are taking in the suffering and we're feeling the heaviness that can come from just the obstacles that are here that, you know, really no longer are, there aren't as many obstacles in America. And you said, but I want you to know you're making a difference. Like, you don't want us to get overwhelmed by the suffering. Yes. You want us to see that what we're doing matters. Can you speak to that a little more?
Yeah, because I had many ambassadors were sharing, and many of them were saying there's so much need, and I wanted them to know that they have done so much already. There's a lot of need, yes, but I want you to appreciate that what you're doing has really taken us from level 1 to level 2. Maybe we haven't reached level 4 or 5, but we are somewhere. So the suffering is still there. We have relatives who are still struggling in the community. So many people are still needy and needing jobs or clothes or shoes or beds. But where we are very grateful. That's what I wanted. Yeah, I wanted them to know that they have done so much impact in the lives of people. People have blankets that never had blankets. People have beds that never had beds before. People have, like, you know how I shared and I said, who of you has running water in your house? And like, out of 100, what, 2?
Yeah, like 2 people.
Yeah, 2 people had running water in their houses. But that the ones who don't have running water in their houses, at least they can afford some money to buy a jerrycan of water, which wasn't the case before when they had to walk long distances to the wells to line up for water. So we are very grateful for for where we are now, and for the work that you've done in our lives and the lives of our people.
Well, it's been a joy. I'm glad I get to stay for a few more days, which will be wonderful to have a time together. And we just, you know, we want you guys to make it a goal to connect with our artisan partners. And a trip is a great way to do that. Coming to Shine is another really great place to come connect with our partners. Jalia will be again there this year, along with many others. And so this is why we do what we do. What we do matters. We are going to have such an incredible fall. And our products, so amazing. And I've even been wearing some earrings already from spring 18 that everyone's wanting. So we're already excited about the designs we have from spring 18. But no matter what your goals might be with Noonday, we want you to know what you're doing matters. And so.
And we are very grateful.
Yes.
Yeah, we're very grateful.
Yes.
So thank you guys. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. And tune in on Facebook. Let us know what you learned. And we'll see you next time.